Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good week. Emotionally, maybe even physically. Hope you're staying sober if that's your choice and that's what you're trying to do. If you're just here to support me, thanks. My finger is healing nicely. It's scabbing over. This was after I made a panic purchase on Amazon. If you go on my Instagram, Smoke Puppet, you'll see the purchase. I purchased like 12 rolls of that fancy gauze wrap that sticks to itself. 12. It's a fingertip. Anyway, I'm using some of it, but no, it seems to be doing all right. Somehow I've been keeping it dry, even though I wash dishes. Somehow I don't know if you've ever washed dishes with one hand, but it is a hoot and a nanny. So let's get started real quick with, of course, the solidarity prayer. Like I am going to start all my episodes here. Let's go. God, grant me the serenity to accept that you made me with an addictive personality while being surrounded by people who are normal. Wow, that sucks. In fact, why am I talking to you? You've done enough. I guess I'm on my own. Amen. Good. That went well. So, I went to HEB today, and I got a Lyft ride back, and our Lyft got held up at the light because the guy in front of us gave money to a panhandler, and I just heard about it from the driver. He's like, he's just going to use the money on drugs, which immediately reminded me of the Bill Hicks bit where he says, yeah, drugs are really important to a drug addict. I concur. It's not like the guy's like, ooh, cool, I'm going to go get Molly and have some fun. It's not a recreational drug habit. You know, you're trying to survive, and it's really... that being said, don't give them money. Don't give panhandlers money. Because, first of all, we're talking about panhandlers and not homeless people. Now, they may be... some of these panhandlers might be homeless. A lot of them might be homeless, but don't think of them as the same thing. There are a lot of homeless people that are not panhandlers. They need help, and they need, what I would do is to make sure that the money goes to the right people or to anybody who needs help. I would donate the money instead to an organization like Front Steps. Frontsteps.org does things for the homeless here in Austin. I mean, they run the Arch, but they also have housing programs, and they do case management and recuperative care. They have a program called Keep Austin Housed. Very clever, right? And also they do support services for veteran families. So I would, if you go to frontsteps.org, they actually have a link. You can donate cash. So if you see somebody and you feel bad and you're conflicted about whether you're going to give them money, I would go online and do that. That's what I would do. If you're not conflicted and you want them to give help, I want to contribute to their booze tab, then by all means, it's your money. That's right, kitty. It is their money. I don't know if you can hear the meowing. She was goddamn quiet for hours, and I just got started, and I was about to get started doing this podcast, and she took the most awe-inspiring dump I've ever smelled. Like, the cat box is not even in this room. It's in another room, and yet it wafted. It came over here and hit me in the face, and it's impressive. So I had to take care of that first. Anyway, the homeless. Enough about my cat and her pooping skills. But, yeah. That's what I would recommend. Anyway, I am not a fan of panhandlers of any kind. Homeless or no. I don't like the guy that tries to sell you a credit card or a newspaper subscription when you walk through HEB. You know, that sucks to have that job. It really does. But it sucks more that you've got to talk to me when I've got my headphones in. I got earbuds in. Fucker, do you think? And I look like me. Everybody who's seen me in person, imagine me not smiling with sunglasses on and earbuds. Why would you talk to me? I mean, why do people talk to me anyway? But why would you talk to me then? I don't understand. I don't know. Oh, I have just been obsessed because of my headlining weekend, this weekend. Which, if you're listening to this before the evening of July 20th on a Friday, listen up. I'm going to be headlining at the Velveeta Room that 9 o'clock on Friday, 9 and 11 on Saturday. Tickets are available at thevelveetaroom.com. Go now. But yeah, I'm going to be recording all three shows for an album and for my first album, the long-awaited first album of John fucking Raven. So I'm excited about it. It's very anticlimactic, though, because this is something that I've wanted to do for a while. And of course, for years, it hasn't been economically viable. Like, even without the drinking problem and the drugs, like, even before that, like, it was just kind of a, wow, I don't, how many CDs do I print up? What do I, do I need merch? That kind of thing, is it just kind of a vanity thing? At least with the digital, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to record it and it's going to be digital only, and I'll make sure that it's available through, iTunes, Amazon, and Google. And that way I'll just have that and I can just promote that and you guys can download and give me a cut, because I'm sure they'll take more of that, because that's the way the industry is, and that's fine. But all that being said, like it's approaching and it's finally here, and it does feel a little anticlimactic. It is just kind of this is what this feels like. Like, you imagine it and you fantasize as a comedian, you fantasize like, oh yeah, yeah, and then my record is out and all that stuff, and it's just like this is a thing. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. So about, 8 years ago? Yeah, about 8 years ago, when I was still going to meetings, or trying to, and I was in it, starting and stopping doing heroin. I was going to Narcotics Anonymous. Because I was like, yeah, no, these are, because that's where the younger people were instead of those old broken down alcoholics. Of course, there's a big difference in NA and AA. You go to AA meetings and you'll see people there. They'll talk about being sober for 10 years, 20 years. And then you go to an NA meeting, Narcotics Anonymous. And it's somebody who's off of heroin or cocaine, and they're like, I've been sober for almost 10 days, people celebrating for 90 days. And it's like, wow. I mean, that's only 90 fucking days, dude. But you're still supposed to go, yay, because, you got to support them or whatever. But it's still, you're just in your head, you're going, 90, though? It's just 90. But anyway, I was at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and there was one guy who ended up being my sponsor for a bit, And then, because he scared the shit out of me, he was like, it was a big, burly, scary ex-meth head. And he just, and the reason that I chose him as a sponsor is because he scared me. Because I thought, you know, this guy might be scary enough to make me do this fucking program. So I got him as a sponsor. But also, I like the idea. He was actually had been sober for a year, and he was talking about how his only goal at the time was to get a car. And he ended up getting a car, and that was like the greatest moment. It felt like the greatest moment in his life, which at the time I was like, that's fucking sad. Getting a car is the greatest moment. At the time I was, you know, I was kind of a judgmental prick, as opposed to now where I'm not. But I get it now, like in retrospect, I get it. I get being able to, when you go through, when you put yourself through a lot of stuff, like I don't really like the idea of getting patted on the back for stopping doing something that I was doing to myself. Like this, like, you know, it's just one of those things that it's like, yay, good for you for, you know, reversing the self-destructive behavior you were doing that you probably shouldn't have gotten into in the first place. But that's fine, you know, it's just how things are, I guess. But oh man, something screwed up and I just deleted. I didn't delete. It didn't save like 15 minutes worth of me shit talking. So I'm doing this again. That really stinks. You don't know that, but I know that. So if it sounds like I'm a little hoarse, it's because I just talked for 15 minutes that you didn't hear. What was I saying? I was saying that I get it. That's right. Because I do. Because I didn't think I'd be able, the things that I have now, I didn't think that I was going to have. Or I was fine with it because it's like, you know, I had a good life and, you know, a lot of ups and downs and it was great. And I'm like, I didn't need, you know, kind of a thing. I didn't think that I would be able to do comedy the same way. Little did I know I'm funnier now than I was. So it's interesting to also approaching this weekend. It's 1 year anniversary of being with my girlfriend. And that's exciting because I was single for 3 years because I had retired from dating. Because I was like, well, this isn't going to work. And I mean, it was kind of self-sabotage, by the way, the dating thing, because I had tried the online dating and it doesn't work when you're super honest. And also, you know, people just, you can't date that way if you're not going to drink. You can't. Not, you know, nobody wants to go on a Tinder date to coffee and dinner and then just, you know, with the sober dude. They just don't. It's just not a, or at least not one that's too honest. I guess that was my problem, is I came out of a rehab honest and I was just a little too upfront. You don't just go, hi, I'm John Rabin, I'm a convicted felon. What did you study in school? Like, that's, it's just not the way to go. So I was kind of self-sabotaging there. I didn't think I would progress in comedy, and I was too busy focusing on being socially awkward, and it really wasn't awkward. It was that I was, my awareness was so great, and I was overthinking everything because my brain was clear. So I was too bothered by everybody and too bothered by everything to actually just chill the fuck out and talk to people and be fine with small talk. Man, small talk used to bug me to no end. I just like, no, let's talk about something real. Yeah, don't talk to me about the weather. Now I welcome it. Holy shit, do I welcome the weather talk. Just, I'm like, does that's easy? You know, I'm just like, yeah, all right. I can be normal. So it was just a slow process. I just hadn't given enough time. So things are good. And I think that's the thing about the recording this album this weekend, is that it just kind of, I mean, even though it's anticlimactic, because I guess, you know, you have in your head what you think it's going to be as it approaches, you know, and it all set up, and it's like going to be really exciting. And it's just a thing that I'm doing. It's like, it's not the end. It's just, it's a thing that's finally a reality. Thanks to technology, you know, because it for years it wasn't a possibility for me. It just, not only because I was spending money on, I prefer to spend the money on partying, you know, and going out to bars every night, or eventually to, you know, to drugs. It's not just that. It's just a matter of, it was just a thing that was, you know, I'm not ready. And I don't know. It's way too complicated. And, you know, and I don't have that kind of investment. But it's here. And it's, you know, there is a downside, by the way, to to affordability, is because anybody can record an album, you know. People won't hear it, but anybody could do it. So, you know, might as well be me as well. So it's exciting. I'm glad that it's, you know, it's nice to be the cliche of sobering up and then, you know, changing your life and good things happening because you're doing what you know you're supposed to do. I don't want to say that, you know, you live a clean and good life. No, don't be dramatic. You're just doing what you know, what's true to you. You know, that's really what it is. And, you know, and I'm happy for it. So, that's funny. I'm just, sorry for the pause. I was just thinking that that explanation was way shorter than the block of me talking that got deleted by this podcast. So I think I just saved you guys an extra few minutes of rambling. So I've got one more thing that I wanted to talk about before I get out of here, until we see each other next week, hear each other next week, till you hear me next week. I'm not hearing you say shit. You know this. So the last thing I'd like to talk about, I need to take a moment, and I'd like to address the meeting between Trump and Putin. Now, I'm just kidding. Jesus. Oh, man. If either email me at stillsoberpod@gmail.com, or if you're a friend of mine on Facebook and you heard that and you went, no. And then I said, I'm kidding. And you went, whew. If you did that, let me know, because that's the correct response. Do not listen to me talk about politics, please. I'm not going to do it, but holy shit, do I not know. Like, I mean, don't worry. I read, and I have friends who have podcasts who talk about this kind of shit. And the thing is that I see them tweet a lot, so I don't know if they're reading the full articles or not. You know, they post on Facebook, they're on social media. I don't know if they're reading the whole article or if they're just, you know, skimming it. You know, they're just, oh, I thumbed it. But no, they're talking about it, boy. And it's just weird because I know them and I'm like, really? Is that your analysis? Whew. I just, when I think of everybody that I've ever met and everybody I've ever known, out of all of those people, who would I want to listen to give an analysis of the political landscape? And I can't think of any of them. No. Nope. You know, we don't know anything. It's certainly not an expert of that. So, no, I'm not going to say that. Sorry, that was not going to be the thing. Oh, man, that would have sucked. All right, I'm glad I'm not a this is not a political podcast. I'm glad I didn't go that way. I remember doing that. I remember thinking at one time that I, you know, oh, I should do more political humor. Not enough comics do that. Yeah, there's a reason. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was somebody, a friend of mine had messaged me this. And by the way, if you do have any questions you want me to answer poorly or, you know, or give a shot at answering, you know, stillsoberpod@gmail.com. So, but this was on Facebook. So, but the question was, were you a dry drunk when you first stopped drinking? And that is a good question, because the term dry drunk is slang. It's like it's slang used in recovery. Then people have heard it, and I've heard. And what it is a dry drunk is someone who is not drinking or doing drugs, but they're miserable because they're still dysfunctional and they haven't done anything to change that. So they're the same person. They haven't done anything to better themselves at all or change behavior. They're just not drinking. So typically what they're doing is they're sitting at home and they're just miserable, just grumbly miserable person. All they can do is think about not drinking. You know, it's just, oh, because there's nothing else. All they can think about is what they would be doing if they were drinking. And now there's nothing. So that's what a dry drunk is. And I've heard people go, dry drunk, that's not a real thing. You're either drunk or you're not. And yeah, that's the way the world is. Black and white. There is no gray. It's good. Everything's one way or another. Everything's simple. We know this. Whew. But yeah, to answer the question is I was actually a dry drunk for about a week after I quit. Give me one second. Let me do a thing. All right. Yeah, so what had happened is I quit drinking after a series of events that really, like, peaked when I was arrested for public intoxication at my 20-year high school reunion. It's a hell of a reunion, by the way. you can ask anybody. And I was on probation. So that was kind of a revocation of my probation, which I didn't know about yet. But I finally made the decision to quit drinking, but I didn't do anything. So I spent a week either going to work, or when I wasn't at work, I went home and I was just sitting at home. And I was just like overthinking. I was just thinking about things, about how much my life sucked. And then I found out from my probation officer in San Antonio, who was a Buddhist who rode a bicycle. She's awesome. She told me she wasn't supposed to, but she said, hey, look, they're issuing a warrant for your arrest. You should call Austin, Travis County, and they'll set up a meeting, but that's not really, it's not a real meeting. They're setting up an appointment so you can talk about it. And then when you show up, they're going to arrest you and to take you into custody. And they don't tell people this because, you know, why be honest? Well, I guess because people won't go and they'll just stay out until they're finally arrested. But it's like, there's some of us that are trying to get things taken care of. So because I knew about that, I got to put all my affairs in order and prepare to go to jail for an undetermined amount of time. Indeterminate? Yeah, whatever the word is. So I did that. But because I knew that, that's when I started figuring out how to better myself. Like, that's when I started working. Like, I kind of came up with my own program and was like I need to, and also I was determined, because I thought I was going to be in jail for a month. I determined that I was going to go to jail for a little bit, and I would spend that time reading books, thinking things out, you know, doing push-ups in jail, like, you know, like you're doing hard time, whatever. You know, I had this game plan, Turns out I was locked up for 6 months, so I just continued the game plan, and I developed my own recovery program from the Four Agreements, Buddhism, and Fight Club. And I'll tell you about that at another time. But that was the deal. Is there was definitely a big change between that first week when I just wasn't drinking, and actually when I started working on myself. And it takes a long time, unless you're different, then maybe it doesn't. But anyway, that's going to be it for this week. I will see you guys next week. I'll tell you how my headlining weekend went, and anything else that came up that seems interesting. They say one day at a time, but it's just, I say it's just one moment right after another, man. Just be present and live it. Wow, that sounds really deep from a dishwasher. All right, guys, I'll see you next week. I'm John Raven. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. Bye.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. Cold beer, cold shoulder. Just one glass of whiskey. That's all it takes. Push me over the line. Set 'em up, I'll knock 'em down.